Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Saha Viryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navadhitamastama Vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 21. Adhyayana 2, Adhikarna 3, Puranas are superior to the Vedas. Adhikarna 3, Puranas are superior to the Vedas. Anucheda 16. Adhikarna Prakashita. Having established the authenticity of the Puranas in the previous Adhikarna, the current Adhikarna focuses on establishing the superiority of the Puranas over Vedas. In this Anucheda, right, so first the established Veda, as that's proper, so because otherwise there's doubts in that, then how the Itihasa and Purana is non-different, and now he's going to establish how the Purana is superior. In this Anucheda, Jiva Goswami first argues for the divinity of our current Vyas, Srila Krishna Dwaipayana. He glorifies his unique position in relation to previous incarnations by citing passages from the Skanda and Vishnu Puranas. Krishna Dwaipayana Vyas is omniscient because he is God. He best knows the whole purpose of the Vedas. Therefore, everything Vyasadeva has written and edited is self-evident truth. From this, it is evident that the Itihasas and Puranas are supremely excellent, since they are compiled by Lord Narayana himself in the form of Srila Vyasadeva. Then he establishes that the Itihasas and Puranas are more important than the Vedas. Vedas themselves by citing from the Narada Purana, where Lord Shiva tells his wife Parvati that he considers the message of the Puranas more important than that of the Vedas. By this he means not that anything is lacking in the Vedas, or that they can be improved upon, but that the simpler explanations given in the Puranas are less likely to be misunderstood. Because it's the same knowledge, that's the point. In all the Vedic literatures, you're getting the same knowledge, different mediums through which it's being explained. You know, but it's the same knowledge about Krishna's supremacy and our relationship with him, right? And about devotional service. Just from we see is that from individuals studying the and practicing the Vedas and all that, they have not come to this conclusion. Right? Does that make sense? But we see that those studying the Puranas in that, then you can come to that conclusion. You at least see that there's more of an inclination towards bhakti and all that. Whether they're sampradayak or not, that's another thing. Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense. They will consider devotional service. Like, let's say you say you're general Hindus. They will consider devotional service as an important point, a part of the Vedic culture. They're maybe seeing it in as a anga of their karma or jnana, but they see it as an important aspect. But now let's say you have those who just focus on the Vedic rituals and all that. They don't have this concept at all. Does that make sense? So we see from the stories of the Puranas that there's more, and the Itihasa, that there is this devotional aspect. So the Vedas are explaining it, as we see from the Upanishads and all that, they're explaining it, but we see that these jnanis and the smartas and that, they just don't catch it. So that's why it's, according to Lord Shiva's point, it's superior because it's less likely to be understood. Same knowledge, just as very clear. Anucheda 16. Right, we have to remember Vyasadeva is writing for those in Kali Yuga. Right? It's not that he changes the knowledge or anything. He's not a soft preacher. Right? He just the presentation makes it so it's accessible to those in Kali Yuga. Right? Skande. Anucheta 16, Skande. In Skanda Purana it is said, Vyasa Chitta Stika Kashad Abha Chinnani Kan Kani Chit Anye Vyavaharantye Tan Yurikritya Grihad Iva. Other sages accept and use some of Vyasa's conclusions from the vast sky situated in Vyasa's heart, as if taking articles from a house. Tataiva Drishtam Sri Vishnu Purane Parasa Vakyam. Parasa Muni says, in the 28th Manvantara, my son Vyas divided the one Veda into four one Veda of four parts into four Vedas. Right, so it's one Veda, it has the four parts. So when we say Rig Yajur Samana Tarva, that applies to all times. It's just that in Vyasadeva then compiles it into four Vedas instead of one Veda. But the parts are the same. Right?
Not when you say compile, it means somebody can write something himself and ask of the assistant to write. Compile means what?
Compile means to bring all together. So it means it's like you have the whole, let's say you're having the whole single Veda. Now spread throughout that whole Veda will be hymns. They're not in one place. They're all throughout. So he collects all those hymns and puts them in one place. Right? So then it becomes the Rig Veda. But otherwise, the one Veda has a section of Rig. You know, the Rig. It means the Rig aspect of the Veda. Right? Does that make sense? So that's what he's doing. He's compiling means you're taking what's already there and putting it together so that it works very nicely. Yes. You're not adding new content. Right? He wrote the Mahabharata. Yes. But the Vedas he compiled. Does that make sense?
He wrote not so many books, huh?
He compiled a lot. I mean, Lord Chaitanya just left eight verses. So, you know, so it's the depth, not the.
Yeah.
Just as the Vedas were compiled by intelligent Vyas, I have had this done by other Vyasas as well. O best of the Brahmanas, understand that in all cycles of four yugas, there are different branches of the Vedas produced by other Vyasas. Know that Krishna Dwaipayana Vyasa is Lord Narayana, O Maitreya. Who else could produce Mahabharata on earth? Vishnu Purana. 3, 4, 2 through 5. In Skanda Purana it said, so there are different branches of the Veda produced by the other Vyasas. So the Veda is huge. And so which branches they'll bring out and all that, so that's what we say, is at all these different times, so much is there, they'll bring out this one, bring out that one, because there'll be a certain mood, a certain flavor and all that that they're trying to accomplish. Right? But because this time Krishna has come as Lord Chaitanya, therefore they're going to compile in a particular way. Okay. In Satya Yuga, knowledge was produced and fixed by Narayana. All this was produced in Treta and Dwapara Yugas with slight change. When, because of a curse of Gotama, the knowledge was lost, Brahma, Shiva, and other devatas developed limited intelligence. They approached pure Narayan, the shelter of the Jivas. Informed of the situation, the Supreme Lord, the great yogi, appeared through Parasara in the womb of Satyavati and recovered the Vedas, Itihasas, and Puranas, which were lost. Here the word Vedan means the Itihasas and Puranas. Thus it is proved that the conclusion of the Itihasas and Puranas is best. From this one sees the greatness of the Puranas. It is said in Naradiya Purana, O beautiful faced woman, I consider the meaning of the Puranas greater than the meaning of the Vedas. The Vedas are established in all the Puranas without doubt. One disrespects the Puranas, one attains an animal birth. Though controlling the senses and mind, one never attains the spiritual goal. Is it go or through?
Go.
Okay, go. Okay. So if he disrespects the Puranas, even though he's controlling his senses, he won't attain a spiritual position. Okay. Then Anucheda Prakashita. In this Skanda Purana passage, cited in the second text of the Anucheda, the word Vedan is significant. Jiva Goswami asserts that, in this context, it refers to the Itihasas and Puranas. The Vedic knowledge is described at this time as Utsanna, a word that carries several related meanings, forgotten, neglected, falling apart, and decaying. The eternal Vedas actually never suffer corruption. Rather, it is the Brahmana class, meant to study and teach the Vedas, who fall from their standards of purity and neglect their social responsibilities. And then, true Vedic knowledge becomes more and more accessible. Right? When the Veda is established by the Lord, the Brahmanas are created to protect the Veda. Right? So, if they're not protecting the Veda, but doing other things like that, does that make sense? You know, finding other sources of information, you know, that happen to work in ones and zeros. Then, and using that as the basis, that's not what Brahmins are for. Right? Shudras can do that just fine. Right? They'll do just a good job of it. And don't worry, the Kshatriyas that manage it to somehow or another control everybody. And the Vaishyas will do the same thing to make money. Right? So you don't have to worry. It's being taken care of. It's the Vedas that need the protection. That's what Brahmins are supposed to do. Right? So they're meant to do that, but we see by the curse of Gotama, then that wasn't happening. It becomes more and more inaccessible. It's forgotten, it's neglected. So when we say lost, means people don't know it's there. Right? When you say something, it still exists. It's just that they don't have access. Instead, it appears in perverted forms of knowledge, materialistic and impersonal misinterpretations. However, when the Lord seeks to restore intelligence to His creation, He gives the Itihasas and Puranas. Thus one sees the greatness of these literatures and how their conclusions are best. Just like we see that first that time when Maru and Kaitava stole the Veda from Brahma, then He gave the essence of the Veda as the Pancharatra. Then after He gave him the Veda, so you can understand what the Veda is saying by the Pancharatra. And then here we see it's being established in Skanda Purana that what's being said in the Veda is said in the Itihasas and Puranas. Right? Does that make sense? So we're establishing that, right? So then the next thing will be establishing Bhagavatam. Right? So once we've established the Vedas, then we can establish the Itihasas and Puranas. And having established that, then we establish Bhagavatam. Thus, one sees the greatness of these literatures and how their conclusions are best. Srila Baladeva Vibhushan's commentary. The knowledge of Vyasa is a great sky. Knowledge belonging to others is a small part of this knowledge, like small pieces of sky. This means that because He is the Supreme Lord, He is omniscient. Footnote 11. Srila Baladeva Vibhushan explains that, just as the sky accommodates all objects, so Vyasa's mind contains all knowledge. Quote, knowledge belonging to others is a small part of His knowledge, like small pieces of sky, end quote. Just as infinite space is all accommodating, the mind of Veda Vyasa is all knowing. Another significance of comparing Vyasa's mind to the sky is that both are the medium for sound, which is the basis of all kinds of knowledge. All other thinkers, both on this planet and the higher planet, simply make use of the knowledge of Srila Vyasa as given. According to one Sanskrit saying, Vyaso chishtam jagat sarvam, the whole world tastes the remnants of Vyasa's knowledge. any quote-unquote new idea one may find or conceive of already exists in his writings. So that's why we're saying Veda is that there's nothing new. It's all there. It's just somebody may by their analyzation understand something that's been lost. Right? But it's not that they create something new. Knowledge is already created by the Lord, just like we don't create any of the elements. We don't create any of the 24 elements. We don't create. We may deal with them, get some understanding like that. So in the same way, the knowledge is Vyasa's knowledge. Everybody else takes a portion of that. Thus, all writers throughout Trishti have borrowed from him directly or indirectly. Right? Directly means they're taking quoting from the Veda and then using it, what you see in the six systems. Or indirectly, those who are not following the Vedas. And so, it's the same knowledge. It's revealed to them because of their particular focus in a particular area. Right? You sit long enough, staring at the street long enough, and drink enough coffee, Krishna reveals those. But unfortunately, they're unable to use that for spiritual realization or anything else of any real validity. Right? Yes. The son of Parasara is greater than the other Vyasas because he is the Supreme Lord. Right? Because generally Vyasa is always a jiva. He's always a Shaktivesh. Just like the Kali Yuga avatar is always a jiva. He's a Shaktivesh. But we see when Krishna comes himself personally, so I am Krishna, as Lord Chaitanya, then he comes as Vyasadeva. Right? So we see that the whole line, they're all. Ramachandra is Swayam, Krishna is Swayam, Lord Chaitanya is Swayam, and then we see Vyasadeva is Narayan.
Maharaj, so? In other ages, Vyasadeva is a jiva, but he gave the same...
He's given that potency, but we see it special in this one, because you can't complain that he's the Supreme Lord directly. Like that. Of course he's going to do great things, like we see Prithu Maharaj, he's a Shaktivesh, but look at what he's doing. So it's not that it's any less in that way, but what they're trying to bring out is that if there's any doubts, he's God himself, so how can you have a doubt? That's the point. Right? The knowledge is lost, and he reveals the Puranas and Itihasas. The son of Parasa is greater than the other Vyasas because he is the Supreme Lord. The Skanda Purana quote shows clearly that Parasara's son is the Supreme Lord. Riti. According to Parasara Muni, during East Chaturyuga, a sage named Vyasa appears at the onset of the age of Kali to condense and split the Vedas. This post is typically held by a Shaktivesh avatar, a jiva specifically empowered for this task by the Lord. Why the capital J? Because if it's capital J, then we know that means Sankarsana, right? Because he's jiva. Empowered for jiva specifically empowered for this task by the Lord. Not in this age, however. In the present reign of Manu, Parasara Rishi, the teacher of Maitreya Rishi and the narrator of the Vishnu Purana, is himself the 26th Vyas. He personally attests, however, that the 28th Vyas, Sri Krishna Dwaipayana, excels all the others. Right? Because he is a Vyas. Right? He's done for the 26th cycle. He's Vyas. Then in the 28th, his son, then he's saying he's now the one that's, you know, greater than all the other Vyasas. Yeah. Right? Of the 28 Vyasas who have appeared in the current Vaibhasvata Manvantara, Krishna Dwaipayana is special because he's an incarnation of Lord Narayana. Aside from Parasara's testimony in Vishnu Purana, the proofs for this are many. Oh, of the 28, okay, not the 28th, of the 28 so far. Okay, I was trying to figure out, but there's only one 28. How can there be so many 28 Vyasas? I thought you said, but then you talked about all the different days of Brahma. Okay. Just means of the 28 up to now, okay. Aside from Parasara's testimony in Vishnu Purana, the proofs for this are many. In the Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Lord Krishna declares that Vyasadeva is his own expansion. Vedanta Krid Veda Vid Eva Chaham. I am the compiler of the Vedanta Sutras and the knower of the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita 15:15. Notably, Krishna in the Gita does not present himself as the author of the Vedas, but only as their perfect knower, for they are in fact co-eternal with him. In addition, Jiva Goswami quotes from several Puranic sources to validate Vyasadeva's preeminent nature. One may think, what is the significance of establishing the position of Vyasa in relation to establishing the authenticity of the Puranas? This is because one reliable way to judge the quality of a product is based on the reputation of the manufacturer. By this criterion, the Itihasas and Puranas are supremely excellent since they were compiled by Lord Narayan himself in the form of Srila Vyasadeva. Krishna Dwaipayana Vyasa is omniscient because he is God. He best knows the whole purpose of the Vedas. Therefore, everything Vyasa has written and edited is self-evident truth, which includes the Srimad Bhagavatam. Next, Srila Vyasadeva summarizes the story of Gautama Rishi cursing the Brahmanas. The second Skanda Purana verse quoted by Sri Jiva Goswami alludes to the catalyst initiating Lord Narayan's personal descent as Srila Vyasa. With the progression of the four ages, the intelligence of living beings naturally decreases, and their understanding of the Vedas gradually weakens. The process of degradation was accelerated, incidentally, by Gautama Rishi's cursing the Brahmins to have their Vedic knowledge covered over by ignorance. But anyway, it's going down. But then, when you add to it Gautama's curse, yes, then it goes very quickly. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan summarizes the Varaha Purana's account of this event.
Can we say that it is the will of the Lord?
Yes, means whatever is supposed to happen. Because you see, is that the living entities are in the material world for certain experience. And so, because they have the general position of I'm the controller and enjoyer. Right? That's the ignorance that they're in. Then within that, then they have so many desires. So depending on the desires, then those various pastimes go on. Right? It means basically it's always the same, but there's some slight difference. Like people when they go out to dinner, then they're going to restaurants, but then they may this time go to this restaurant, that time go to that restaurant. But there will be a restaurant. Right? So the whole point is all the different activities that are going on in a day of Brahma or in a particular, you know, Manvantar, then they're going to have a particular flavor according to what's the mood of the jivas and all that at the time. But it's the same thing. It's not that it's a different creation or anything is different. It's just that the flavor will be a little different. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like the modes of nature. You can see is, let's say, you go back some time and tattoos, they've been around forever. It's not that they were, you know, like that. But at different times, they become popular, and then they disappear again. They become popular, then they disappear. Does that make sense? You know, so like that, it just comes up, or different activities, different things, or music, or, you know, different styles and dress. They all come, and then they go. You know, so it's like, let's say, you could probably say, Louis was the father of skinny jeans. Right? You know, so it's just that now it happens to come around, just they don't put bows on their shoes, right? You know, like that. They can't get everything to get everything right, right? Does that make sense? You know, so it's just the modes make it that this becomes the flavor and everybody's into it and tastes it, and then it changes and then it's another taste. Does that make sense? So that's what's going on. So it's always going on. And so Vyasa is there. So, and this time, by the Lord's will, then it happens in this way, because somehow or another, this is just the taste. Right? It means they're in whatever yuga it's in, this happened in the Treta or Dwapara. And the Brahmins are as smart as they should be according to the degradation of the ages. But there's those living entities that want to have the taste of having less intelligence, even though they're in these higher ages. You know, so then by the arrangement of the pastime, then Gautama gets upset. He curses them.
Well, the curse are quite strong,
right? Yeah. Well, that's the whole point of that's why they're Brahmins and they have power. That's why in Kali Yuga, Brahmins don't have that power of cursing. If there was, what would be left? Right? Like I remember once pulling up in the taxi in front of the Calcutta temple. And somehow or another, it's always there that there's some argument over the price, like that. And so, whatever it is, it works out, because I generally just get up and walk away. So, it works out. But I was very upset. But as I was walking in and walking up the stairs, I was just imagining, as he started his car and went forward, then in Albert Road there, the cement just opened up. And he, his car fell inside and then it closed again. So that's why in Kali Yuga, Brahmins don't have potency to curse. Otherwise, what would be left? Right? Can you imagine you're sitting there and the guy steals your gulab jamun and what's going to happen to him? Like that? Yeah, so, as we see in other ages, then cursing matched what was their position. Like Narad Muni, he curses the Nala Kuvara and Mani Griva because they're naked. And so trees are naked. So then he curses them to be trees, not something else. Right? But at the same time, is then they meet Krishna. So we're not qualified to deal in these things. Yeah, because we see. If there's lack of qualification, then you get that pastime with Sringi. So that basically was the last Brahman to have that potency. Because now they just misuse it. So it's removed. Because as Kali Yuga comes in, that ushers in Kali Yuga, but also that means now the Brahmins don't have that potency. Because otherwise, that's what happens. He curses the emperor of the world. Like this. So, you're not supposed to do that.
But they have a power to chant the mantras and do the yajnas, just the curse, which is not
the means whatever is given to us, we can use. But the point is we use these things for devotional service. Means they can use them and they'll get some pious benefit from it. But the point is that everything's meant for moving towards Krishna. In the other ages, they might not, because there's so many living entities who are not interested in Krishna. But for those who are, then it naturally works. So. Gotama had the blessing of having continual piles of grain. He fed Brahmins during a great famine. When the famine was over, they desired to leave, but he forcibly stopped them. They made a cow by magic, and by the touch of Gotama, it died. Because he had killed a cow and was impure, they left. Right? So they made a cow by magic, and probably Gotama sees the cow and goes over to pat the cow, but as soon as he touches it, then it dies. So then they're going, just see, he's killed a cow, we can't stay and eat from this, that, and go. After doing atonement, Gotama discovered they had tricked him, and he cursed them. Thus they lost their knowledge. This is related in the Varaha Purana.
This Gotama is not the same that Gotama received in the system of...
That I'm not sure. Are they the same? Same Gotamas?
He's the same one of Brahma. When Ahalya's...
Okay, but is that the same Gotama, the philosophy of the six schools?
I didn't find any proper
connection. Yeah. The meaning of the statement in Narada Purana is, quote, I consider the meaning in the Puranas greater than the meaning of the Vedas, because there's no doubt about the meaning in the Purana, end quote. Anyata kritva in the verse from Narada Purana means disrespected. Lord Shiva states that since the Puranas reveal the purport of the Vedas, they are more important than them. It should be concluded, however, that the Vedas should be avoided. It should not be concluded, however, that the Vedas should be avoided. Okay. Rather, one should recall Vyasa's verdict in the first canto that people in Kali Yuga are not intelligent enough to understand the true message of the Vedas, especially since there exists no authentic disciplic succession through which to acquire this understanding. Quote, thus the great sage Vyas, who is very kind to the ignorant masses, edited the Vedas so that they might be assimilated by less intelligent men. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.24. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada explains the following. The seed of all knowledge, or the Veda, is not a subject matter which can easily be understood by any ordinary man. There is a stricture that no one should try to learn the Vedas who is not a qualified Brahmana. This stricture has been wrongly interpreted in so many ways. A class of men who claim Brahminical qualifications simply by their birthright in the family of a Brahmana claim that the study of the Vedas is a monopoly of the Brahmana caste only. Another section of the people take this as an injustice to members of other castes who do not happen to take birth in a Brahmin family. So they take it as a social status thing, and the others take it as a social political platform. So then neither of them understand. Because the point is, these Brahmins are supposed to study, but they're supposed to be qualified. Right? It means not that Kshatriyas and Vaishyas aren't studying the Veda, but the point is it's the Brahmins who are the ones who are going to teach it and going to practice it in its full form. Because the Vaishyas and the Kshatriyas, they're only going to use it in relationship to things that specifically connect to them in their life. But the Brahmanas are only in that part of their life. Right? Where the Brahmin, that's what he does as a lifestyle. And they are teaching and dealing in a much wider range.
Maharaj, can we say that in Kali Yuga, more or less only the Vaishnava are Brahmanas?
It's not, it means, you could say the highest aspect means that they're actually using their Brahminical qualification to serve Krishna. But we can't say that there's not other people that don't have Brahminical abilities like that. Because they live that lifestyle, they do all these things, they just have this idea that only they can do it and no one else can. Right? So then, like you said, they have a monopoly. So that's the problem. So you say, them trying to monopolize, and then the others, you know, it's unjust. And this way, the social, economic, you know, banter goes on. So that's why we shouldn't fall into these things. So when we take it up, oh, this is injustice to this group, or that's not what we're involved in. Both of them are misguided. The Vedas are subjects which had to be explained even to Brahmaji by the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the subject matter is understood by persons with exceptional qualities of goodness. Persons who are in the mode of passion and ignorance are unable to understand the subject matter of Vedas, right? So these so-called Brahmins in passion and ignorance claiming it's their right only, and the others in passion and ignorance saying this is injustice, they're both unqualified. In the present age, the mode of goodness is almost nil, and so for the general mass of people, the kind-hearted, powerful sage, Srila Vyasadeva, divided the Vedas in various ways so they may be practically followed by less intelligent persons in the modes of passion and ignorance. Right? So that's the point of less intelligence, is passion and ignorance. Being situated in goodness, then that's intelligent. But it's not the actual perfectional stage of intelligence. That's being engaged in devotional service. That's surrendering to the Lord. So that's from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.4.24 purport. Thus, in Kali Yuga, one cannot understand the Vedas without resort to the authority of the Puranas. So if we read the Puranas, read the Veda, we will not understand them. Right? Does that make sense? It means the other day we were having a verse from the Veda being quoted about the Purodasa cakes. Right? So that's the thing. Everyone thought it was funny, right? But the point is now if we go back into Vedanta Sutra, then when Indra said to whoever he was talking to that one should worship Indra to understand the Supreme, who was he talking about? Not himself, but the Supreme Lord. In other words, the potency of the Indra-ness of Indra, that's Krishna, so you should worship Krishna. Right? And then we see in the 11th canto where the discussions are that how you say, Krishna is pervading everything. Krishna gives everything its substance. Whatever is of substance, we see in the second canto, anything of substance, that's Krishna. If you don't see it in relation to Krishna, that's Maya. Okay? So now, that rice cake that he's addressing, why would we be addressing it that way unless it has that potency of the Lord is invested in it, and they're addressing that potency of the Lord, though it happens to be in the form of a rice cake. You understand? So the Brahmins will look at this very soberly. But because of the language and the presentation, we find it, you know, very unique. Does that make sense? So that's why the Vedas, we won't understand things from the Vedas. Because if you see the Vedic verses, basically they're all in that kind of style. Right? It means just like we're used to, you know, kind of emotional substance. Right? It means the poetry, the things are having the emotional aspect. But we see here, the Vedas, it's not, it's intellectual. So it's poetry by how the words are used and the different contexts and the obscure meanings, hidden meanings. And so then that doesn't have that emotional aspect to it. It has an intellectual aspect. And so when the Brahmins hear that, then they'll think, okay, then it's this and that's the, you know, they're referring here to, you know, the personalities behind this, who they're offering it to. It's ultimately as Vaishnavas, that it's for the Lord, so the Lord through these devatas and that it's working. Does that make sense? They'll see it like that, and they'll appreciate the how unique it's presented. The special words, the unique words. Right? Does that make sense?
They can explain to other people.
Yes, and then they can explain that. So, but that's the whole point. The Puranas just go straight into an explanation that we can appreciate. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it's just like, let's say, just another example of just the intellectual aspect and the taste. Let us say someone works really, really hard. Let's say, you know, some nuclear physicist, and he comes up with some formula. And it's been a point of, you know, doubt and debate and discussions for a long time amongst the community. Then he comes up with this one that actually synthesizes everything and it works out very nicely. Of course, this is hypothetical because they're still looking for this. But in any case, he'd come up with a part of it. They write it on the board. And the other scientists see it. To them, they're just seeing beauty. How it's written, how the things, the math, how it works. It's just for them, it's just beauty. Everyone else goes, yeah, so? Does that make sense? So that's the difference that we're talking about. So for us, the math is boring. But for the physicist, it's exciting. Right? In the same way as that these Brahmins, the Vedic Sanskrit and all the elements and all that, for them that's inspiring, exciting. For us, it's just different. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why the Puranas are actually the supreme, because they will be appreciated. Someone speaking like Narad Muni or Lord Shiva, not that they don't understand the Vedas. It's just that they see is that as far as it going and discussing with others other than themselves, then the Puranas is the thing. And even amongst themselves when they talk, you see that their discussions are then given in the Puranas. So that's the point, is the Vedas there discussing that, these great personalities, what they discuss, that's Smriti. So that's easier for us to understand, because they're taking it and digesting it and bringing it out and discussing it and bringing out the different angles. So the Purana in that way is superior. Right? So we means... So the point being is that verse from that Brahmana that was given, then we're only understanding it because we've heard from the Puranas. Right? Even Vedanta Sutra, we didn't understand it until we introduced purports from the Puranas. Does that make sense? Means we had less volume, right? And we were going slower. Some of these, well, you know, half a page at a time. We add in volumes of purports from the Puranas and the works of the Acharyas, then we go through quite quickly. Even though it's bigger volume, we're going quicker than when it was left because we're seeing it through the Puranas. And for us, we won't even understand the Puranas except through Srimad Bhagavatam. And we won't understand Bhagavatam except through our Acharyas. We won't understand the Acharyas except through Srila Prabhupada. Does that make sense? So now we can discuss all these Vedic and Vedantic things because we're hearing from Srila Prabhupada about the Bhagavatam and therefore understanding then what's going on. Does that make sense? So that's the point being made by Narad Muni in the Skanda Puran, like this. Shiva's making that, Narad Muni's making that, they're all making this point. And we can see practically that's how it's working. Right? Does that make sense?
After 10,000 years,
then it will be. Then they'll just be waiting around until Kalki comes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that.
No.
Once you go back to Godhead before that, yes, that's the recommendation. Because let's see, if you go from here to the heavenly planets, you go for 10,000 years. When you come back, the mission's over. So you don't want to go to the heavenly planets. Yeah. Hmm? Not good.
But also the Vedas, the Shrutis, the misinterpretation of the verses will be happen very easily. Than Puranas, it is very direct.
Yes, Puranas are very direct. Because it's language that we will catch. While the Vedas, it's Nirupta there, what we call vocabulary. The one of the definitions Nirupta is obscure meanings. They like to use obscure meanings. You know, just like there, he says, worship Indra. Like that. But, you know, you're standing there, so I'm supposed to worship you? No, because we, by the discussion, you know from previous and after that, he's talking about the Supreme Lord. So he's the Indra. Does that make sense? So that's the thing, is the Vedas like to use these obscure meanings. Yeah, like that, yeah. Yes. So in this, as you said, basically in this eight practice means we're saying from the cultural point of view is that we shouldn't be disrespectful towards Brahmanas. Because it said even if someone's not a Brahman but they dress like one and claim to be, just by respecting them, that gives double the benefit of like that. So it's just because that position is supposed to be respected. But actually it's only from the devotional understanding then one can actually see what the purpose of the Veda is for. Otherwise then we'll catch it. The smartest think it's to go to the heavenly planets and make things nice here, and the others, the jnanis, think that it's for going to Brahman.
And they don't accept that with a
hand. No. They generally avoid that. Or if they do hear Bhagavatam, then it'll be from a materialist.
Yes.
You know, a professional reciter. So. Thus, in Kali Yuga, one cannot understand the Vedas without resort to the authority of the Puranas. Besides the Puranas, there are other Smriti scriptures, such as the Manusmriti and other Dharma Shastras, which give detail in ritual and varnashram duties. All too common, however, is to find duplicitous interpreters bend the message of Dharma Shastra to suit their own fanciful purposes. Right? It's just like, let's say someone does something that we don't like, then we'll quote from Manu the very strict, very, you know, like this. But then if it's something that we're doing and it's not there, oh, we're not fanatic. So that's what it's talking about here. For their own fanciful purposes. Hence, only the clear presentation of the Puranas allows the confused people of the modern age definite access to the eternal Vedic wisdom. Then we actually know what the Vedic wisdom is. Then you can, from the perspective of Bhagavatam, then you can understand Dharma Shastra, the Niti, the Artha Shastra, Gandharva Veda, Ayurveda, you know, Jyotish, all this. Otherwise, one will miss the point. You know, some of that. Adikarna 4. Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost Purana. Anuchedas 17 and 18. Adhikarna Prakashika. Having established the Puranas as superior to the Vedas in the previous Adhikarna, the current Adhikarna focuses on discerning which is the topmost Purana. Jiva Goswami begins this section by reiterating the position of Puranas as more important than the Vedas. Also by stating that, quote, no one can become learned without studying the Puranas, end quote, he alludes that the Puranas are themselves more important than all the other Smritis. Right, so even more than Ayurveda and all these things, then the Puranas would be more, because you see the interaction, the devotees, the Lord there. While in the specific things like Ayurveda, you won't see that as much. Someone who is a devotee can see that. Like we mentioned, one time Atmatattvabhu was visiting he was an Ayurvedic doctor, but I think he was Sri Vaishnava. And then they were discussing about this element of how all the Vedas, all the knowledge is connected between all of the different, all the different branches of knowledge. The 14 books are all connected. And so then the Brahmana, that doctor, then he just to give an example of that, he took a verse from the Ayurveda, just straight out of Charaka. And then he read the verse and said it how it would be in medicine and how that would apply medically. Then he mentioned how it would apply in astronomy. Then he showed how it would apply in logic, you know, how it would apply in music, how it would apply in philosophy. He gave 10 different understandings of that one verse from all the different branches of knowledge. So the point is if you understand, then you can see that. But the point is the Purana makes it very easy. Because for him to be able to do that, that is very, very unique. How much study is there, how much realization is there. The Puranas then, they make it much more accessible. You know, it says Krishna is God, so we know, okay, Krishna is God, okay. Does that make sense? Yeah.
It can be very difficult to distribute books if it is a Veda.
If?
To distribute books, the Vedic books.
Yeah, if you're out distributing Rig Veda, it might be a little difficult. You say, no, but each page was how you say, hand washed in Ganga water and then dried, and then only after that, then they printed it on the book. Wouldn't you like that?
Indians could still buy them if it in Walter.
Yeah, just for that. you could do it in India. But
for example, you can choose Vedanta Sutra, or you can choose Charak, you can choose.
might be a little hard, you know, carrying around all those books. You know. Then he presents the difficulties faced in understanding the Puranas. Right? So, means the Puranas are superior, but only by the Puranas you can understand the Vedas. But then he also points out is that the difficulty in understanding the Puranas. Right? So he's taking it step by step. You establish one, and that's the whole point. You establish that. Now, when that's established, now you bring the next point. And then you move on. You give up the previous point. Right, because now we're saying no, but the Veda is the most important, and that we haven't moved on. So that's the whole point we see just in our devotional life. When we develop, we move to one thing. You have to give up the previous one, that previous attachment. Just as we meet with difficulties in studying the Vedas in this age, we also encounter difficulties in studying the Puranas. The 18 major and 18 minor Puranas constitute a vast body of literature, and there are no clear disciplic successions or authentic commentaries for most of these works. Portions of some Puranas are not available, and other Puranas have variant meanings and interpolations. As with the Vedas, independent study of the Puranas yields no clear conclusion, because each Purana seems to establish a different deity as supreme. In this Adhikarna, Jiva Goswami leads us forward and shows us how to navigate the Puranic waters. He cites scriptural evidence which divide the Puranas according to the three gunas and asserts that the sattvic Puranas are the only means of acquiring infallible knowledge. Then finally he reasons how Srimad Bhagavatam is the best among all the sattvic Puranas. Anucheta 17. It is said in Skanda Purana, O best of the Brahmanas, I consider the meaning of the Puranas to be fixed like the Vedas. The Vedas are established in all the Puranas without doubt. The Vedas were afraid of people with little knowledge, thinking they would distort the meaning. The Vedas have been established by the Itihasas and Puranas in ancient times. That is not seen in the Vedas. What is not seen in the Vedas is seen in the Smritis. You know, What is not seen in the Smriti, what is not seen in the Vedas is seen in the Smritis. What is not seen in the Smritis is described in the Puranas. The clever person who knows the Vedas and Upanishads but does not know the Puranas is not knowledgeable. Right? Because then how do you apply it? That's the whole point. That's the important aspect, as we see, is that you have the Veda, you have the Vedangas, and with that then you can know the Veda, use the Veda, perform the various ritualistic ceremonies. Then you can, you know, go through the Varnashram aspects, you can try to attain Brahman, you know, through the Upanishads, you can do all that. But the problem is that what's the philosophy and what's the application of that philosophy? So that we see in the Puranas. So Skanda Purana, Prabhasha Kanda, 290-93. Though the Puranas are established as authority, because they do not leave the meaning unsettled, those who are less intelligent still find the meaning of the Puranas difficult to grasp. Since the Puranas are unavailable in complete form, and because they instill faith in worshipping various devatas, much, so that's the reason they'll get confused, right? Matsya Purana says, it is said that the Puranas have five types. In sattvika works, the glory of Vishnu predominates. In rajasic works, the glory of Brahma is greater. In tamasic works, the glories of Agni and Shiva are greater. In mixed works, the glories of Saraswati, as well as other devas and pitris, is greater. Prominence of Agni means fire sacrifices. The word cha after Shiva indicates worship of Durga. In works with mixture of sattva, rajas, and tamas, Saraswati and various devatas are worshipped. Sarasvatyaha literally means power of speech, means many devatas or personalities having various messages. That is the meaning. The Shrutis also mention actions for attaining the pitris. Karma na pitri loka. One goes to pitri loka by performing karmas. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 1.5.16. Anucheta Prakashita. Right, so you can see it'll be confusing. Even though they're giving the essence of the Puranas, of the Veda, still one can get distracted. Anucheta Prakashita. First, the superiority of the Puranas over the Vedas and all other Smritis is related. By stating, quote, the Vedas are afraid of people with little knowledge, end quote. It is established that the Puranas are better than the Vedas because the Vedas are the prerogative of only the qualified and learned personalities, whereas the Puranas reach out to all masses without distinction. So we'll generally take it that means it's something lesser. But no, because it's more essential, because we're talking descending knowledge here. If you're talking ascending knowledge, yes, then you can say it will be something less. But because it's descending, the point is the essence is always what's being given. Now, if you're more qualified, that essence is given in a broad range of knowledge. As you become less qualified, the essence is given in a more and more narrower range of knowledge, until at the end, only the essence is given. That's the difference. While in the ascending knowledge, you're starting with some body of knowledge, and then you are just expanding, getting more and more detail of that knowledge until it gets very, very, broad and detailed and technical. But there's no necessity that it's required that you come to the essence.
Yes.
Right? In fact, if you do, then the problem comes is, where's the speculation? And if there's no speculation, where's the fun? Right? So then they're not going to do that. Yeah?
Yes. Hmm. Srila Prabhupada makes a point like, why Sukadeva Goswami is considered the best among all the speakers and all the sages? Because he could speak in such a way that everyone could appreciate. The sages of different group, but everybody could understand the message of Bhagavatam. So similarly applies to scripture also. If everybody could appreciate and understand,
yes, yes. Well, as you see, like Prabhupada said, everybody can read it. All you see is sometimes individuals may think that it's not so technical, and so they prefer a technical, but then only certain people will appreciate that technical. And then of those that appreciate it, then according to Shastra, very few will understand. Right, yeah. After establishing the authority of the Puranas as the highest pramana, this anucheda ends with exposing the problems with understanding the Puranas. Sri Baladeva Vibhushan commentary. The meaning of the Puranas is certain, and like the Vedas, is approved by all. Quote, one can understand the meanings of the Vedas from the commentaries on the Vedas written by the wise instead of consulting the Puranas. Okay? So is this a doubt?
This is a doubt.
Okay. Yeah, so then just put it down into the thing where you put it, the doubt. The Veda, so this is their point. The Vedas are afraid of commentaries written with scant knowledge. Vibhet yalpa shrutad vedaha. What is the use of manufactured works when there's already a commentary without human authorship?
So,
Oh, the answer is this. Okay. Or ours is the answer. Okay. The Vedas are afraid of commentaries written with scant knowledge. I mean, someone who doesn't have a proper amount of knowledge, they're worried about those commentaries. What is the use of manufactured works when there's already a commentary without human authorship? Right? So, we have a commentary on the Vedas that doesn't have a human authorship, right? It's Aparusheya. So that's the Puranas. So why would we need other commentaries, right, when we already have the Puranas? Right? Does that make sense? Okay. So this is Vritti. Okay. There's no need for any other commentary on the Vedas. When the natural, non-speculative commentary on the Vedas is already available in the Puranas, there are many commentaries on the Vedas, but the Puranas are the natural commentary because they were compiled by the compiler of the Vedas, Srila Vyasa. Therefore, even without directly studying the Vedas, one can understand their message by studying the Puranas alone. On the other hand, study of the Vedas in this age is incomplete without study of the Puranas. Even supposed religious leaders of this age are generally victims of delusion and hypocrisy. We see this tendency throughout the world. In India, many apparently well-educated and strictly religious brahmanas are confused about the purpose of life and the means of achieving it, mainly because they have failed to approach the right sources of knowledge. As a matter of fact, we find today that those who attempt to study only the Vedas and Upanishads often take to ordinary food of activities or to meditation with the aim of merging into the impersonal Brahman. Some of these brahmanas, claiming to be purely Vedic, deny the authority of the Puranas, which they say teach sentimental and fanatic idolatry. Right, because that's the thing, because the language, they'll say it's sentimental. Among these brahmanas are the ritualists of the first millennium A.D. who followed the Jaimini Mimamsa interpretation of Kumarila and Prabhakara, and the more recent proponents of the Arya Samaj. So these are will be purely just only Vedic. They don't accept Purana and all that. Although these brahmanas, through the commentaries of their teachers, presume to have direct access to the Vedas, the manifest fruits of this so-called Vedic education all too often results in arrogance, atheism, and subsequent eradication of their family tradition and values. And they end up going to IIT. Right? They do not come to the Vaishnav Siddhanta. Means, in other words, if you have the brains to study and understand the Veda, and then having done that, you'll make no money because no one cares. The intelligent thing to do would be to send that son to IIT. And the one that doesn't have the brains to understand it, he can't go to IIT either. So he can't make any money. So in any case, you send him to the Gurukul because that's cheap and everything. And, you know, he'll get by in life. Did I sum it up properly?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
One father came dressed up. So he was telling he has two sons. Elder son is not studying nicely, so he can become brahmachari.
Yes, he can become. But the younger one's got brains and potential, so he has to study nice, get 4-point average, go to IIT, and like that. And best to go to the West, you know, or how do you call it? You know, Silicon Valley, you know, like that. You know, it's all.
And they have this caption. Contribute to the society.
Contribute. Don't know what they call yeah, it. Yeah, contribute to the society. Yeah, contribute what? They just make they add to the volume in the economic market. So. They do not come to the Vaishnava Siddhanta. You know, that's what we were saying before. Is even they study it, they don't become. While you see those who study the Puranas, there's more of a tendency to appreciate bhakti, even though they still see it as an anga of their karma or jnana. But for these who are only studying the Vedas and Upanishads, they do not see bhakti as valuable at all. They just don't see the point.
Means only jnana.
It's just karma jnana. They don't see that there's a need of this bhakti. If it's there, it's only technically part of the worship, so they don't even give it any sentiment. But it's not that they don't necessarily worship Vishnu if it's part of the ritual. It's just that they don't see the importance of dealing with that outside of or giving any emotional, lending any emotional attention to it. Okay. Means when we say they're dry, we mean dry. Like that, literally dry. Like that. Mm-hmm. If you've ever met, dry. They do not come to the Vaishnava Siddhanta, the perfect conclusion of Vedic understanding, which is realization of unalloyed devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The failure of modern-day students of the Vedas to understand this conclusion is proof that this message is not easy to discern in the present age. As Lord Krishna says in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.44, Paroksha Vado Vedo Yam, the Vedas speak indirectly. Therefore, studying the Puranas is even more appropriate and practical for us than studying the Vedas. A serious student who wants to understand the conclusion of the Puranas must still approach a guru in the succession. This basic prerequisite of Vedic study is not waived when one approaches the Puranas. Indeed, Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21 emphatically declares, Tasmat gurum prapatyeta jigyasu shreya uttamam. One who seriously wants to learn about the supreme welfare in life must take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Then, continuing, this is Baladeva Devushan. Though the Puranas are the cause of accurate knowledge, because of no confusion of meaning, the meaning that the Lord endowed with his vibhutis is supreme is not understood by recent persons of meager intelligence. The same meaning is stated in the following. Veda Rama Yane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavyante Chamadye Cha Hari Sarvatra Gyate. In the Vedas, Ramayana, Puranas and Mahabharata, in the beginning, middle, and end, the Lord is glorified everywhere. Harivamsa 132.95. The ignorant are those who do not understand this point. Right? So beginning, middle, and end, then it's about the Lord and glorifying the Lord. So the ignorant who do not know, do not understand this point. Or the ignorant are those who do not know this point. We live in corrupt times, when people need more definite guidance to find the correct path of spiritual progress. Even the Puranas, easy to understand in earlier ages, often bewilder disoriented modern readers. Because the demigod worship gradually purifies those who are too materialistic, to have an interest in pure devotional service. The Puranas, to appeal to people of many different natures. Encourage worship of demigods alongside worship of the Supreme Lord, right? Because if they worship the demigods, they have to regulate their life, they have to, you know, make sacrifice, all the qualities that you want for bhakti, they have to use. But if it's for bhakti, they won't do it. Right? Because for the Supreme Lord, he's getting the benefit, not me. But the demigod, you're worshiping him, it's because you'll get the demigod. So they'll make that effort to cultivate those devotional activities and devotional qualities. Though they're not labeled as devotional because their intent's not devotional. But that's actually what they're dealing with. So that's why it's recommended. It gets people active and gets them dealing in that way. The Shiva Purana proclaims Lord Shiva supreme, right? So even we want to, let's say nowadays, we want the slow path. It's already there. The Vedic path is the slow path. What's recommended in the Puranas, that is the slow path. So if you want slow, then better get into it. You know, if we make up a path, then it may be more slow than we expect. Yes. The Shiva Purana proclaims Lord Shiva as supreme. The Vishnu Purana heralds Lord Vishnu and so on. For one who studies them without proper guidance, the result is confusion. Such a student will not know whether to worship Shiva, Vishnu, Devi, or some other deity. Right? Because whenever it's talking about Shiva, when it says Cha, that means Durga. Shiva Cha means Shiva and. Means and Durga. As a source of further confusion, portions of the Puranas are now missing, and in some cases have even been replaced with spurious substitutes. In recent centuries, the Brahminical community has become less and less familiar with several of the more rarely preserved Puranas. Thus, unscrupulous scribes are now able to distort the text without being detected. The commentaries of reliable authorities provide the only sure protection against such adulterated texts. More than 600 years ago, Srila Sridhar Swami commented on both Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vishnu Purana, taking special care to certify the wording of almost every verse. For the other Puranas, however, there are no such verse-by-verse commentaries by standard acharyas, only citations of isolated passages. The author next explains how to reconcile this theological disparity of the Puranas.
Which one is this monitor?
This one here. This is which one?
Kusakrata
Kapita. Okay. And this one here, this is us, no?
This is also...
The author next explains?
This is also monitor. This either one.
Okay, so then you just put that there. Anucheta 18. Machi Puran establishes the classification of famous Puranas according to the topics of the respective works. There are means to distinguish between them to determine which Purana is the best. There is a hierarchy according to the gunas. Satvat Sanjayate Jnanam Rajaso Loba Eva Cha Vamada Mohau Tamaso Bhavato Jnanam Eva Cha. Knowledge arises from sattva, greed arises from rajas, inattention, confusion, and ignorance arise from tamas. Bhagavad Gita 14:17. Partivad daruno dumas tasmad agnis trayi maya tamasas tu rajas tasmad sattvam yad brahma darshanam. Smoke is superior to dull wood, and fire, sacred to the Vedas, is superior to smoke. Similarly, rajas is superior to tamas, and sattva is superior to rajas, since it is favorable for realizing the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.24. So it's favorable, that's why they bring people up through the modes. But it's only pure goodness is the purpose. So unless they get them to that point, it's incomplete. right? So that's going to be, we see, is the perfection of the ma, is the what do you say? Srimad Bhagavatam, because it takes one to pure goodness. The others will only bring you up to goodness. Like that. But we see is that because one is superior to the other, that one is in ignorance, but now one is in ignorance at least following the Veda. Right? Then one comes up to the mode of passion, then up to the mode of goodness, and then up to the mode of pure goodness. So we're talking about a long time here. So Lord Chaitanya's method is by the Sankirtan mission. Then people come in contact with the parampara, the pure devotion, or the chit potency. So having come in contact, then they're able to leave this slow path and come to the quick path. Does that make sense? If one classifies, if one classifies the puranas according to guna, this means that sattvika puranas are stronger for giving spiritual knowledge. Even accepting the superiority of sattvika puranas, how can one solve conflicting ideas concerning the ultimate spiritual goal made by logicians using various devices? It is said that, since the Lord in the form of Vyas wrote the Brahma Sutras for explaining the meaning of all the Vedas and Puranas, by consulting it, the one can discern the meaning of all scriptures. But it is not understood by followers of various other sages who wrote other sutras. Some will explain opposite meaning in the sutras, which are sparse in syllables and extremely deep in meaning. What is the solution? The problem will be solved if there is one apaurusheya, well-accepted, complete scripture manifest on earth, which explains Brahma Sutras and which contains the essential meaning of all the Vedas, Itihasas and Puranas. This is a good point, because you have revealed by your questioning the Srimad Bhagavatam, the king of all proofs, which is approved by me. Right? So then you're going to have all these different things. Then you can say, okay, confusion is there, but that's given in the Brahma Sutras. But then the problem comes is that how many people can approach it and really appreciate it? Mm-hmm. Then approaching it and trying to appreciate it, then we see as the difficulty comes up is that then you have other sages who have written on these things. They come up with different ideas. Mm-hmm. And so therefore then it's put forward, well, what about if you have one scripture that is apodusheya that deals with the comment on the Brahma Sutras and gives a very clear explanation of all of them? And then Jiva Goswami says, yes, I like that. This is a good point. Now you've revealed Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Yeah. So he even gives that point for whoever else is there in the conversation. Anucheta Prakashita. In this Anucheta, Srila Jiva Goswami first establishes the authenticity of the Sattvika Puranas over others by quoting verses from Matsya Purana, Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam to clear the problems of difference among various Puranas presented in the previous Anucheta. The Sattvika Puranas glorify the Supreme Lord Vishnu and his incarnations. But in the material world, it is rare to find the mode of goodness unmixed with the lower modes. And the state of affairs is reflected in the Puranas, right? Because that's the history. And you see is so much passion in this. Several of the Sattvika Puranas describe the worship of God in mixed modes, rather than in pure devotional service. Hence, it is still difficult to understand the nature of the absolute truth from these scriptures, right? Because they're talking about, they're worshiping the Lord, and they're still practicing all the other aspects of the Vedic religion. The difficulty comes up is that because the presentation will be for persons like that, you have to put more emphasis on the secondary attributes, not the primary. You're mentioning the primary, they accept the primary, but the emphasis is on the secondary. So now what will happen is they will continue on in their life emphasizing the secondary. But because they're engaged in the primary along with it, gradually, slowly, they'll get purified. Right? But still there'll be confusion. And because they're confused, they can get distracted from the path. Right? One may present the Vedanta Sutras as an alternative, But Srila Jiva Goswami points out that these sutras are too short and too deep to be understood by everyone. And also they are interpreted differently by various scholars, making it difficult to discern as to whose interpretation concurs with the author of the Vedanta Sutras, Vyasadeva. In order to reconcile all these points, a special scripture is needed, a source which must satisfy several lofty criteria. Srila Jiva Goswami lists these requirements and concludes that Srimad Bhagavatam is the only scripture up to standard. John. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Chaitanya Gaura Premanand ki.